Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is life to those who find it. And it is health and healing to our flesh. Father, as we open your word today, I call for revelation, knowledge, understanding to flow. I thank you that life comes, and I give you the praise and glory for it. If you're in agreement, say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. All right, give our podcast listeners a hand clap. Come on now. All right, we're glad they're listening. Praise God. All right, so I wanted to get back into this. I didn't get to finish. We are in 2 Chronicles. Praise God. So 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I want to get back in here because I want to talk about something that's very important. That we are going to see what the Word of God calls about the former and the latter rain. Okay? We are going to see that. If we don't see it in our lifetime, this earth is going to see it. Because it's in the Word. Therefore, it must be fulfilled. Okay? And I will tell you, there's something, we know that this main event has not taken place yet in our time. We know that the time of Joel took place, but this new former and latter rain has not taken place. Why? It's popping up over here, popping up over in Florida, popping up over in Cali, popping up over in Chicago, right? The Bible says it's going to be poured out upon all flesh. Everybody is going to get a dose of the power of God. All right. So we know that this main event hasn't happened yet. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we're going to read real quick. Just try to go through here. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And it came to pass when the priests came out of their most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves or set themselves apart without keeping to their divisions." Now, that is key for what we need to take place in the body. Not keeping to divisions. Not being divided against one another. Not being divided in spirit, mind, body, right? Ideals. Not to be divided on beliefs. Amen. And this is why when people say, "Well, what do you believe?" I say, "What the Word says." What denomination are you? We're non-denominational. Well, what faith are you? We are of the faith of the Word of God. If the Word says do it, we what?
Do it.
Do it. If the Word says don't do it, we what?
Don't
do it. It's a real simple gospel. This is not rocket science Bible, right? So this is very simple. And so we have to come to that same place of one mind. The Bible says to be in one accord, in one place to be heard. And this is what we're going to look at. So verse 12 says this. It says, "And the Levites, who were the singers, and all those of Asaph and Heman and Judithan, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets." Okay, now that's a lot of people. Isn't that a lot of people? And it's a lot of noise, right? There's a lot of trumpets and stringed instruments and cymbals and singers. There's singers, and they're all making... Okay, we'll keep reading, keep reading. Why do I do this to myself? Verse 13 says, "Indeed it came to pass, when the trumpets and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and they lifted up their voice." All right, so all the music is going on. Now they're lifting up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals in instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So you could probably hear a trumpet go, how about that? Sounded like, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," right? And so the stringed instruments, they're like, ring, 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 you know, okay. So here they are making one sound to be heard, right? "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." Now, this took place, we know, because it's in there. We also know that our God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
The Bible says he shows no partiality. If he'll do it for you, he'll do it for me.
That's right.
If he'll heal you, he'll heal me. If he will bless me, he will bless you. Amen? It's not about who we are in rank. It's about who we are and what we believe. Bible says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
That's right. That's
right. If you can believe.
That's right. That's right.
Our God shows no partiality. So what he has done for here, he will do for his house.
He'll do it again.
This is his house. What do we need to do? Sanctify ourselves.
That's right.
What do we need to do? Come as one.
Amen.
No divisions among us, right? No divisions to be seen, to be heard. Everyone with one accord, right? All right, so we see that all the priests had already been in the holy place spending time with the Father. That's important. Now remember, we can spend time with the Father here, and we can spend time with the Father in our secret place. The Bible tells us about the secret place, right? That we go into our room and we close the door behind us and let there be no interruptions. Leave the phone outside. Don't try to schedule time with the Lord when you got three kids running around the house. Right? Because they're going to knock on the door. Hey, guess what? The stove's on fire. You know. Whatever. She just went through the glass window. Oh, Lord have mercy. I mean, my son jumping on the couch, busts his head, bleeding everywhere. My daughter goes running through the sliding glass door, bleeding everywhere. You really can't do secret time place with that going on.
No,
so it's good to schedule that time when you're alone. Amen. It's also good to pray together as a husband and a wife. Amen. And pray together. Why? So that you're both on the same page. So that he hears what you're praying. She hears what he's praying. And we are in agreement. Where two are agreed as touching anything, it shall be done for them by our Father who is in heaven. So this is important that a husband and wife pray together.
Amen.
It's also important, though, that they pray separately.
Yes, yes.
Because this is about being in one accord with a husband and wife and being on the same page. But it's also about your fellowship, your relationship. He's got to be number one in your life, not number one in both your lives together. Number one in yours. And then number one in both. Amen?
Yep.
Right on. All right, you're getting it now. You got it.
Yeah,
all right, so they were all satisfied. They were all satisfied. They'd set themselves apart. And they were to be used by God. This is why they did it.
Yes, yes.
See, it doesn't say that they were crying out for the cloud of glory. They were just wanting to praise God. They were just wanting to show God surrender. Show God who he is, how great and mighty he is, right? And always will be. I mean, but they wanted to show him, hey, all these people can come together.
Amen.
And still be of one mind, one heart.
Amen.
Amen? One sound to be heard in praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Very important. Very important. All right. They were all one. They were not separate. Not separate from one another in spirit or in beliefs, not mind or speech. Amen? They were of one accord, one. Of one mind, one spirit, one heart, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. All right, come on now. They began to make that one sound in the praising and thanking of God. I'll tell you this. It's hard for men to praise God in front of other people. Okay? You know why? Pride. Yeah. And that's part of it. I'll be very honest with you. That is part of it. But when praising God and worshiping God, you have to surrender yourself. And men don't surrender to anybody. We just don't surrender well. It's how we are. That's how we're built. We are not built to surrender. The military, the Marine Corps says you don't surrender. You do your best to escape.
That's right.
That's what you're told to do. Escape. Okay. You do whatever it takes to get out of there.
Amen.
If they kill you, they kill you. If you get away, you get away. But you do what it takes.
Right.
This is what's built into men. So when it comes to praising God, getting down on our knees, closing our eyes, we look around, make sure nobody's watching us. Everybody's watching. You understand that, right?
Of course.
You might as well understand that if you're going to praise and worship the Lord, everybody's watching, including the Lord,
right.
Oh, there's
including God,
uh-huh.
Including all the angels. See, everybody's watching,
yes,
right? Because, see, you're praising God because you love Him.
Yeah.
They praise God because they've been built to praise Him.
They have to.
Why am I on this? All right.
But
it takes surrender for a man. It takes him to, he's got to put his pride down.
Humble
himself before the Lord, and He will exalt you in due time.
That's right.
It's the Word of God, okay? Amen. That's what the Word says. So we want that anointing, that glory cloud. We do. We'd love to have this take place in our church. We do. But what does it take?
Surrender.
It takes sanctifying, separating ourselves, no divisions, right? And being here for Him. That's it. To let go of ourselves, to let go of who we are or who we think we are. We really got to let go of who we think we are because we really aren't that big a deal. And yet God thinks we are.
Oh, yeah, come on. That's Him.
Who am I that He would be mindful of me? That's what the Word
says.
What?
David says that.
And that's King David.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Who am I that the Lord, He would be mindful of me? He is so mindful of you that He killed His Son for you.
That's right.
Bible says it pleased Him to crush Him.
Yes.
It pleased God to crush Him. So you would have a choice.
Hallelujah.
To receive Jesus if you want. Or to not receive Jesus if you want. But it's up to you.
Yeah.
He gave you a choice. There is no you have to.
No.
You're not the angels. They have to fly around the throne of God and praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. Yes, say, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was Israel. They have to do that. That's how they were created for.
Amen.
Yeah, they were created for that. You were created because He loved you.
Yes.
You see now, what?
So
well, you can see David could say that.
Yes.
He loved me. And he created me because He loved me. I was a spirit in heaven. And He breathed the life into my body. Thanks to Mama for not killing me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, see, there's another comparison going on in that book right now that I'm reading. That how the Baal would offer up children in the golden image in his hands and light them on fire. And that's how they did abortion back then.
Lord.
Sacrifice to Baal. Terrible. And guess what? It's still going on.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
still going on. By the millions. By the millions.
Yeah, they gotta be
crazy. Man, it's hard. That's harsh, but see, that's gone on for ages, and we think it's a new thing. Well, not we, okay, but the earth thinks it. The blind leading the blind out there think this is a new thing. Like this is it's okay, you know, because I am in charge of my body. Oh, you are? So you're in charge of whether you get cancer or not? Come on. I mean, let's get honest with ourselves. I mean, are you in charge of your body? Oh, you are. Okay. So you must be in charge of not getting hereditary diseases then, huh?
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't know you were in so great charge of your body. You're not in charge of your body. Our faith is in charge of our body. And this is why the Word is so important in our lives.
Amen.
It ultimately is God's in God's hands, but it's our faith that moves God. And it's our faith and faith alone that moves God. Not need, not necessity.
Uh-uh.
Nope. Our faith alone will move God to what? Heal my body.
Right.
Heal my body. Why? Because I asked in Jesus' name, I am healed.
That's right.
Then God moves.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Or I wish God would heal me. No, that's not right.
No.
See, that's not right. I can't wish that God will heal me. I have to know God will heal me. It's a confident expectation because if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe. Why am I on this? Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm on it. They were speaking of God's goodness, of His mercy, and the fact that it will endure forever without ceasing. We are a part of that. We're a part of His mercy that endures forever without ceasing. Praise God. They gave thanks and they praised God for who He is.
That's right.
For who He is. For the Lord is good.
Yes.
For His mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
That's right.
Do I want to? I don't have time to go there. Okay, let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. I wish I had time to do all this. Acts 2. I know you all know this all by heart, but if we don't look at it, we might think of it in the wrong way sometime. And I don't know about you, but I'm hot. It is warm, isn't it? Oh, it's really warm. Somebody said it was real warm. Hey, yeah, somebody said it was really warm. It's warm. Yeah, I believe you. I believe. Praise God. Acts chapter 2. let us start in verse 1 here. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place."
Right.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Like what we just read. They were all in one accord in one place.
Amen.
"And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Thank you, Lord.
Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them.
Amen.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance."
Thank you.
As the Spirit gave the utterance. See, He had something to say through each and every one. And that began to sit upon them when it was time for them to speak.
Hallelujah.
And He had something to say.
That's right.
All right? So, but we see here that these they roughly say about 120 were in this room, were of one accord.
Amen.
They were there for the Lord. They were there just as we saw in 2 Chronicles 5. They were there for the Lord.
Yes.
They were there because of love. They love God. They knew He had something for them. See, this is important. They were told to wait for the promise of the Father. So, here they are. Now, you think about something for a minute. If God promised you, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Faith Christian Center. I want you to go in, sit in your seat, and I want you to just pray. And I want you to pray. Pray from your heart. Just as you hear the pastor praying during what we call pre-service prayer. When I'm usually the only one here doing it. By myself. So anyway, now that we're not on that anymore, that wasn't meant to be harsh, but it kind of was. See, when we decide that we want this, every seat will be filled when it's time to pray.
Yes.
See, you got to know what's on my heart to be in one mind and one accord with me.
Amen.
I got to know what the Lord has for this congregation.
Yes.
We can't be of one mind if you don't know what my mind is. We can't be of one heart if you don't know what's on my heart. Amen?
Yeah.
And see, it takes us coming together for that to take place, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be harsh on you. I'm not trying to do that. Please understand. But I want to see this. I've seen it before, but see, we can have it all the time. We can have the presence of God walking in this house. Every time you walk in God's house, the presence of God be upon you. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time I minister the gospel, the anointing is upon me. I always know He's here. You can have that same relationship with the Lord, and you don't have to even preach. It's what you're wanting when you walk in the door.
Amen.
You know, we're told to ask for the power of God.
Yes.
We're told to ask, call out for the glory.
Yes.
Shout. Right? Well, that's what we're supposed to do.
Okay.
All right. So, we see that there are roughly 120 of one mind. They were not uninterested or unconcerned about what we were doing in this place. They were all focused. Nobody was disinterested. Nobody was unconcerned. Everybody was actually concerned. I want the presence of God. I want the promise that God said I could have. See, if he told you you could have this promise, all you got to do is come and wait. Wouldn't you come and wait? Absolutely. Because you know God, if he's promised, he's also able to perform, see? And he's faithful and just, right? So we know he'll do what he said. None of them were lukewarm. They were on fire for God. They were on fire for God. Amen. They were not lukewarm. All were in earnest prayer and united in faith. And that's what I'm talking about when we come together. To be united in faith. United in prayer. When we do pre-service. And let me rephrase too. Pre-service prayer is now when we have communion. So when we have communion, we'll have pre-service prayer. If you guys start getting here at 10 o'clock for prayer, we'll start having prayer more than once a month. Amen? Is that fair? Okay. Because see, I got to pray things that are on my heart. That things that you can't really hear. Okay? I can't pray over each and every one of you from the pulpit because you don't want everybody to know your business. And it's not right that way. Amen? But if you're not here, I'm in the house of the Lord, you know I'm praying over you. And I'm getting deep. And I'm getting specific. And I'm letting God know, Lord, this person's faith is out there for this and this and this. I'm in agreement. And so since I'm their pastor and I'm in agreement, I thank you that it's done. And I expect it. I expect it. Why? Because God said he'd do it. And you've got your faith out there. All right. Why am I getting into this? Wow. All right. So I really wanted to try to get this done today. I really, really did. All right. Once again, we see that the people were of God, were united in one goal. United in one goal. And I'll tell you what our goal is here right now. Our goal right now is that people be saved.
Yes.
That they get born again. That's our goal. Our goal is that they be healed.
Yes.
That as we go into the nursing homes, people receive Jesus.
Amen.
And they get healed. Why? Because you're there.
Yes.
So this is our goal right now. Mom and I, Pastor Jane and I have some goals in mind too. And you will, I can tell you what they are. We want to get into the hospitals. We want to go to the prisons. We want to get busy.
On the street.
I had more fun in the ministry in the prisons than anywhere else. I loved the prison. I had a blast in the prison. I was scared to death to go to the prison. Come on now. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to go. Lord, no. Don't call me.
Yeah.
Call Elder Bill.
Yeah.
He'll go. That guy went to Haiti. I know he'll go to the prison. Amen. I didn't want to go. But I knew in here, he said, you're going. Now, you ain't going to tell God no.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that tell God no.
I can imagine.
I'm real bright.
Not bright.
Not smart, right? We say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
We say, yes, Lord. All right, amen. Why? Well, we want him to say yes, too. What, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we, you know, come on. Right? It was a give and take kind of gig. All right, so.
Hallelujah.
So we see that, of course, they were of one goal. They were of one mind, of one spirit, and of one speech.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We all have to be on the same page. We all have to believe the same thing, hope the same thing, right?
That's right.
Sounds pretty interesting. Love. All right. Let's see. The sound that occurred was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Not an actual wind, but I've seen the actual wind. I've seen the actual wind take place. The Holy Spirit, when he shows up, he'll show up in the way he wants to show up. He'll show up, as we saw here, in fire. He'll show up with a loud sound as a rushing mighty wind. However he wants to show up, but please come. Yeah, just show up. We're down. We're in. Come on. We'll take any sound, fire you bring, right? You bring them both. Right? Amen. Bring some rain with you. You know, we, hey, yeah, come on. Knock us out so we can't stand up. I'm in. Whatever it takes, I'm in. Why? There's nothing like the presence of the Lord wrapping his arms around you.
So beautiful.
There's nothing like knowing that He loved you so much that He showed up with His presence upon you. It's better than a love hug from your wife. Those are pretty good. But the presence of the Lord wrapping His arms around you is nothing like it. You're at peace. You're delivered. You're free. You're loved. There's a love when He does that that you just, you cannot understand. But oh, you're so thankful, right? I mean, every time I leave here, and that, yeah, you're butter. And when I leave here after our Sunday and the anointing's been all over me, I feel great. But I'm wore out. I want to go home, eat, yum, 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 and watch football. And big naps. Lots of naps, in between naps, right? Watch the Browns, take a nap. All right. So praise God. All right, now. Yeah. All right. Let us, oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Okay. What do I want to do here? Let's go to John. Let's go to John. John chapter 7. John 7. Praise the Lord. Come on, we're seeing this kind of thing take place out here in the body of Christ in different areas, but this one day is going to take place on all flesh. Amen. And I'm ready for that to take place. All right, John chapter 6. See, there's times, the Bible says there's times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord shows up, we see healings manifest. See, when the Lord shows up, we see faith manifested. We see manifestations of healings. We see manifestations of deliverance, right? Being set free when the Lord shows up. Because the devil can't be around. He's got to flee from the power of God. He couldn't take standing on the hill with Jesus. Finally, he gave up and said, I'm out of here. I can't trick him into nothing. Jesus wasn't going to be tricked anyway. He knew where he was going. And the devil wasn't going to stop him from getting to the cross.
That's right.
He knew where he was going.
That's right.
Bible says he set his face like a flint. You weren't going to take him off of it. He wasn't going to look to the right or to the left. Amen. He only at one time said to his Father, if this cup can pass from me,
right,
so be it. But not my will, yours be done. And of course, he knew what God's will was.
Yeah.
He knew what God's will. God's will was for him to come, die on a cross, be raised from the dead so that we could then be raised with him. Period. And that taketh away the sin of the world. Exactly. He knew we needed that. Jesus knew that we needed that. Jesus didn't want to be parted from his Father. No, he didn't. Remember, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day with the Lord. So he understands that. See, we can't comprehend it. Can we? I can't comprehend a day as 1,000 years with the Lord, but see, Jesus lived it.
Yeah.
So,
he came from,
I don't want to be parted, not even for 10 minutes from my Father. Right? Amen. Think about that. He had always been with his Father.
That's right.
And always will be. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right. Yeah, so anyway, John chapter 7, let's start in verse 37. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to the well. No. What did he say? Let him come to me and drink. If you're thirsty, get with the Lord.
Amen.
Get with Jesus.
That's right.
He's got a quencher that will quench what nothing else can. I mean, there's no way. But Jesus can quench that thirst. If any man... if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. So, there's that promise, right? If anyone thirsts, let him come to the Lord to get filled.
Yeah.
Let him come to the Lord to get filled. We want the presence of God in the house of the Lord so that when people need their thirst quenched, they can come to the house of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. I need my thirst quenched when I come in here. It's hard week. Being out in the world is not fun for an entire week. Ugh. It ain't fun. So I don't like it. I want to be in the house of God where I'm around those who believe what I believe. Love me and I love them. And who are seeking out for the Spirit of God. That's where I want to be. I'd like to have that every day of the week. Amen? That's where I want to be. He says, out of the belly will flow unlimited power to do the work of the Lord. Believe that. Rivers of living water, he says. Rivers of living water. Going down to the river.
That's right.
Going down to the river. Amen? We get baptized in the water baptism, right? We go down. Whether we go down once, whether we go down three times, whatever. It's your heart. It's your heart.
Amen.
Yes, some do, you know, hey, you're dunk you and you're up and you're good. Others, they dunk you three times and hold you down on the third one. Make sure that dude's dead. Right? They drip dry you at that point. I mean, they make sure that dude stays in there, you know, when they pull you back up. Because see, that is the new birth. See, it's the new life.
Amen.
It's the old man passing away and now the new man becoming new and alive.
Yeah.
And all things are of God.
Woo-hoo. It has reconciled.
Oh boy. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what water baptism is. But what about baptism of the Holy Ghost though? Oh, now come on.
This is fun. Oh boy.
From the inside.
Pouring out.
Rivers of living water.
Right.
See, he begins to pour out of you.
Right.
When he pours out of you, people get healed. They get delivered. Okay. They get set free. They see God in form.
Yeah.
They see his presence. They, wow, I want that, they say, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. There's a lot of people freak out too, some, and run. They're scared of the power of God. Well, that's the enemy, the demon. The demon don't want the power of God, right? They run from the power of God. Let me get out of here. But that presence, right? There's nothing like it. We call for it. We accept it. We receive it. We want it. That's what they wanted in Acts 2. They were waiting, and they were waiting for that to take place. We saw in 2 Chronicles how they just came together to be of one mind and one heart and making one sound to be heard. And what happened? Kaboom! God said, well, thank you. I love you too. Whap! Have this. That's what he did to them. Yeah? Amen. And they did the same thing in Acts 2. We saw that he did it in Joel. We're going to see things, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll stop right there for now, but we're going to see things, I'll tell you, that will boggle the mind. You can read it here and see it in here, but whoo, really? There's going to be a dude with 100 eyes flying around, right? Okay. I mean, you're right. You see, you're picturing things that are in the Word of God. And we know that they're true because they're in the Word of God. Oh, don't take the Word of God literally. What?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why nothing's working in your life. You don't take the Word of God literally.
Right.
You take His Word literally.
Yeah.
If He said it, He'll do it. If He spoke it, He'll make it good.
Okay.
Come on. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. If He said it, He'll do it.
That's right.
If He spoke it, He'll make it good. It will come to pass. What He has spoken must be fulfilled. Or He would be a liar, and He is no liar. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, will he not do? Has he spoken, will he make it good?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
There's our faith.
Yeah.
There's where we must stay in our faith and believe that if he said it, he'll do it. So that's why we keep our eyes on the word, in our heart, in our mouth. Because it is true.
That's right.
All we got to do is believe it.
That's right. That's the key.
All we got to do is believe it.
Amen.
We know that he said it. Then we know he has to do it. He has to do it. He's held to, bound to his word.
Amen.
You see, this world may not be. They get out of contracts all the time. It used to be my word is my bond. My handshake was stronger than oak. Right? Remember, you grew up in this. You grew up in those days. I grew up in those days. If my dad said he'd do it, it was ironclad. If he shook your hand, the deal's done. Didn't care if it cost him an arm and a leg that he would not back out. But see, that's not the world today. Their word is not their bond. They'll get out of every contract they can. All they want to do is get that first benefit and then they bounce. We got people. We have people in our industry. Here's what they do. They go get a prepaid credit card. They sign up for a whole year. But they'll go get paid a prepaid credit card for that first $50 payment. And it's only got $50 on it. And you give them that credit card, and that's the credit card on file. And guess what comes on the next month for their payment? Zero. They know what they're doing. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They'll get enough. Absolutely. They'll get enough. We want 50% down when it comes to certain work. Certain work. So they'll finance it instead. Use same process. The credit card. The prepaid credit card. With just enough. How much do you want down? 1%. 1% is good. Our company, Lord have mercy. So they get a card for $10 on it. It's got a $1.69 initial payment. So if we ever get any other money out of them, it's impossible. And we finance, and that's why. So they just bounce. They don't care. They don't care. But see, that's the world today. We can't be like that. We have to know that if it's in here, that it's true. And as long as we know that, and it has to, we know it in our heart, it can't be in our head.
Right.
I can't wish that this is right.
Right.
I can't wish that it's true.
Right.
I have to be confident in
That's
knowing
right.
that it's true.
And he will do it.
He'll do. Right?
Yippee.
Word says this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we know he hears us, then we have the petitions that we've asked of him. 1 John 5:14-15. So, I believe that scripture. See,
Amen.
I believe it. And that's what it takes in the word.
Amen.
That's all it takes.
Believe it,
receive it done. Believe it,
Amen.
Receive it done. Speak it,
right.
releasing it,
Woo.
Believing it, receiving it. Amen.
Right.
And that is how we live.
That's right.
That's how we live. I want to see things take place in our church, just as it's taking place in other churches.
That's right. It's going to
happen. And it will.
It will.
Because, see, I want that.
That's right. Me too.
And I know you do too.
Oh, we gotta have it.
I know you may be a little off on it, be like, well, I don't know if I'm really ready for just, you know, flat out falling down the steps or anything. But, I mean, you just, you know what I'm saying. Okay, so, but we come to that even, that middle ground, that even area where we can say, yeah, I want that.
Amen.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
I want to see him healed. I want to see her healed, right?
Yeah.
I want that. Amen. I want to see things that I see in the Word. If I've seen it in the Word, then I can see it in the house of God. Fair is fair. Lord, you did it here. You're no respecter of persons. If you'll do it for them, you'll do it for me.
Amen.
And that is the truth.
Hallelujah.
That's the truth.
That's
you can't be good enough. You can't be bad enough for God to hate you. And you can't be good enough for God to love you. God loves you, period. And that's what the world doesn't comprehend. They think you got to do something or be something for God to love you. No, he chose to love you before you even knew him.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Who am I that God would be mindful of me? You're very important to him.
That's right.
You are very, each one of you are important to him. So important that, like I said, he sent his son to die on a cross.
Yeah.
That's how important you are. Now, up here it may not comprehend, maybe even in our own heart, I don't really understand why he would love me. I know me. I don't love me. Sometimes. Sometimes I don't like me. I know me. But God looks past all that and sees Jesus in me. When he sees Jesus in me, he sees, that's my boy. That's my son. That's my boy.
And he sees you perfect.
I am perfect. I'll tell you that right now. All right, if you'll stand to your feet, let's go ahead and pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready for the rain to come down. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We give you praise and glory. Father, I thank you that just as we see in 2 Chronicles 5 and just as we see in Acts chapter 2 and in Joel, Father, 2, that you, Father God, will pour out upon us your Spirit. We call for your presence, Lord, that delivers and sets free, your presence that heals, and the manifestation of the power of God to flow in our house, this house. We thank you for it, Father. As we go this week, Father, I pray for the very presence of God to go with each and every fellowship body of believers here. And that, Father, they will experience your presence in their own homes. We thank you for that, and we give you glory. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a great week.